This conference is being recorded.
Okay, I think we're recorded. Okay, so good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you to the second in the quarterly series of teleconference calls hosted by PeaceWorks, Dances of Universal Peace North America. My name is Jen Friedman, and I am a member of the Board of Directors for DUP. Tonight, we come together in connection and sharing to discuss the topic of supporting our dance organizers. So I'd like to just briefly go over the format of the call to give you a sense of how things are going to go tonight. We are welcoming six members of the regional dance community to share their experiences and insights. Taja Lee, Teresa Tolan, will be talking on researching events and venues to hold dances. Farinisa Lila Rosa will speak on advertising and publicity. Anjali Patty Stratton will speak about skillful communication among DUP leaders. Hira Fatah will be speaking on long-term sustainability and building community connections. And to close, we'll have Munira Judith Avenger and Jalila Joanne Murray speaking specifically on the topic of sustaining dance circles in rural areas. For each of these topics, we'll have about 5 minutes for each of the speakers to share their experiences, and then we'll open it up for questions and any ideas or sharing of success stories that you'd like to share with the group. We'll have about 10 minutes for that. So I'd like to mention again for anyone who's just joining us to please press star 6 to mute your phone. And then when you are ready to speak or ask a question, you can also press star 6 to unmute yourself too. And I'm wondering, has Sky joined us before we start muting?
This line is
out. Sky Majida?
Yes, I had just muted myself.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Wonderful to have you, Sky.
Thank you. Sorry to be late.
No.
Thanks for taking notes.
Thank you. Thank you. And so just to keep us flowing through the timeline, I'll be gently chiming in throughout the topics to help us keep moving along with the flow of the evening. Before we begin, I'd like to mention that the Dances of Universal Peace North American Board is a group of committed volunteers serving in the interest of strengthening the dance community throughout North America, Canada, and Mexico. And we had the idea of this teleconference call. It came up out of the desire to help connect and encourage sharing amongst the leaders and the many organizers we have throughout our region. In addition to the conference calls, we have started a new project that is the creation of a dance organizer toolkit, which I made mention of in the announcement for this call. So we hope that the toolkit will include materials that can be easily downloaded on our website and will make it easier for organizers and leaders to take on the tasks of hosting their own circles and special events. And I bring this up now because I'd like to ask that each of you keep this in the back of your minds while participating on the call. There probably won't be too much time for discussion on this because we have so much ground to cover, but at the end of the call, I'll talk a little more about how we can move forward together on this project. So before we really begin, I'd like to invite Lucinda Abbey, the President of the Board of DUP North America, to lead us in the invocation.
Thank you, Jen. So let's all take a deep breath together and using this moment to connect our hearts and minds as we reach across the whole North American region to coming together for promoting the Dances of Universal Peace and for enjoying the expansion of our circles, our dance circles, to reach even more people in the coming year. toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being, united with all the illuminated souls, who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Okay. Thank you, Lucinda. So first up tonight, we have Taja Lee Teresa Tolan, who comes to us from Evansville, Wisconsin. Taja Lee has coordinated and directed numerous children's and family camps and programs into which she integrates nurturing spirituality in children and spiritual parenting principles. She is a marriage and family therapist by profession, as well as a watercolor painter. Taja Lee is a certified dance leader, a supervised dance mentor, and is currently the co-director of the Children's Global Peace Project, a program to integrate dances of universal peace, creative arts, literacy, and global connections for school-aged children around the world. I'll turn it over to Taja Lee.
Thank you. Wow, it was really wonderful to hear how many people who I know and love are on this call. It was very touching. I want to talk to each one of you because I haven't talked to you in a long time. So I'll just send out that heart intention. And my topic is researching dance circles. And I, without any questions from the audience, I thought what I'd do is share a little bit about our community, which is the dance community, is also a Sufi community in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's been in existence for 30 years, at least 30 years. It might be a little bit longer. And I joined the community of dancers in December 4th of 1992. And there were already two established dance leaders, but over the years they unfolded, and we are now very strong in that we have four certified mentors and five certified dance leaders who are serving the community. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that as I showed interest to become a dance leader, which was about 12 years ago, there was a request from Rockford area and subsequently Dodgeville, which is both of them are about an hour from Madison. And so how Madison has cultivated dance circles is when we get a request from a community that's nearby, we send aspiring dance leaders there. And what has made it work effectively is having an interest from a community member who has helped set up the location or find the location and make a decision about how often. Once a month is usually what we've done. And then they've also helped to gather the people there. In Rockford, we worked through the Unitarian Universalist Church. And in Dodgeville, the same church religious organization, UUU, and they've had members who have asked to have the dances there. So I'm not leading in Rockford anymore. At about 5 years after leading, we encouraged people from that community to start leading, and it was also a timing thing. And with both Rockford and Dodgeville, our community loves dancing so much that we go there and dance. We'll follow the leader to wherever they go, which has felt really supportive for me as when I was an aspiring dance leader to have members of the community come and join. So that's something that I would add. A couple other things I wanted to just note, because I have led dances in prisons and at church services and in weddings. And now recently, nonviolent communication workshops. All of the other ones, except for the NVC workshops, I've been asked to lead dances. People just say, we love the dancers, we'd like to have them. And so that's been really, really exciting for me to bring it into the community. and also with its challenges that I won't go into right now. I will write, if there's questions, I'll happily answer those. The NVC workshops, because the process is so beautiful as a communication, I felt like the dances fit so perfectly, and so I offered. And that's how, when I've been doing trainings, they now say, it's time for a dance, and so I'll usually lead a dance two or three times during a workshop, which has really met my needs for bringing in the heart-centered practice of the dances. And then the last thing that I'll mention before we open it up for questions is that if you aren't familiar, if you haven't heard about my latest passion, which is really guiding me, every ounce of my being, has been the Children's Global Peace Project. And I started that because I really saw what happens when children grow up in an environment of doing the dances, with one, my own daughter, but also at dance camps. And I really wanted that for all children. And so when my daughter was in first grade, I offered to volunteer, and they said, what do you want to do in her classroom? And I said, I want to lead dances at Universal Peace. And that was 6 years ago, and from there, we now have an organization where we're leading dances regularly. We have been, I think to date, we've worked with about 3,000 children in Wisconsin, Colorado, Uganda, and we just opened up in Brazil this month. And it's part of a program where we talk to the children about how do they create peace inside, talk to each other peacefully, and work together peacefully. We create a peace banner that's sent to a coordinating classroom in another country to encourage correspondence. And then we lead the dances of universal peace. And that, I could talk for hours about how amazingly gratifying this has been to see children experience the dances. And I think to date, the highlight is when we led dances with 300 children at Central Elementary in Colorado, and they were age 5 through 10. Mm-hmm. And that blew me away. That's like in the top 5 things in my whole entire life, mm-hmm. Right up there with childbirth, because the children were so open. They were so excited about doing this, and they could really feel the enormous, I can say spirit on this phone call, that comes through the dances and communion that happened. And parents were crying. They had invited parents to come to the multicultural celebration. And it was transformative. So I'm willing to talk about that at length, but it may need another phone call or another venue. So I'll stop right there and see if there's any questions.
If you have a question for Taja Lee, just please unmute yourself if you're muted with star 6.
Taja Lee, this is Donna in Virginia.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask, because I would love to be a part of doing this in Virginia and the Children's Global Peace Project, and so I just wanted to ask, is the thing that's stopping it from spreading more right now in this country is just needing to get some grant funding and other funding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Right now, for the last 6 months, we've been completely volunteer, Kevin and I. Kevin, who has been in Uganda, we've funded it out of our own pockets.
Wow.
Because of the funding that stopped that we had, but we believe in the project so much that we've continued to do it, and we're glad we've done that because we've been building a base with the schools. And next year, we have commitments from both schools in Wisconsin and in Colorado to pay us. I think we're going to probably get about $6,000 between the two schools, which is a start. It's not nowhere near what we need, but it's beginning. So, yes, that is. And we are writing grants. We are researching different funding sources, but we're patiently waiting. So, yes, I'm collecting any name of anybody who would like to be involved, because it will happen. I'm going to be doing a training in Colorado in about 2 weeks, and then a training in Wisconsin in about 4 weeks.
Well, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi, this is
Lee. This is Jen in Colorado. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit more about your work in church services and how you go about scheduling them, and you know, what you actually do during the church service.
Well, some of that has been in conjunction with the Children's Global Peace Project, but actually there's been two independent where they just wanted dances during the service. And so I, because they won, one time I led a circle of dance with children up in the front, and the parents or the adults stayed in the pews.
Okay.
And another time, the other two times that I've done it, it's what I now call chair dancing, because people stay in their pews. I've found that if people aren't familiar with the dances, that they're not ready to jump into, okay, let's move all the benches or pews or chairs or go to a different location to do the dances. Mm-hmm. They'd rather just stay right there, and they say, well, you can just lead the dances in the pews. And the first time they told me that, I thought, okay, how am I going to do that? But it actually, I've done a wedding that way, where we led dances with 120 people in chairs, which has a different feel to it, but it was what that the people wanted for their service. And so I thought, if I can get the song and the message of the dance out, I'll do it whatever way I can. Later on, the people were invited to a dance circle, which some or all of them attended, depending upon what the venue was. And so considering what I've done to select dances is, what is the service focus or theme, working with the wedding party, what dances did they want, and then what was going to resonate with the community. So those were all factors that I considered when I chose dances.
And when you did it with the children during the service,
uh-huh.
Was that during the children's sermon time?
Yep.
That
yeah.
You did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we use quite a bit. We use dances from I Open My Eyes and also the forthcoming All My Relations that's coming out sometime, as Catherine can put it forth. Mm. So.
Jen, this is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I could share with you also, we've done the dances at our church. I go also to a UU church.
Okay.
And I actually have done the dances at two different UU churches where I've been a member. And we did it for the whole service. The whole service was dances.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know about churches, but I know a lot of UU churches, particularly in the summertime, or like in our church, once a month our minister does not speak. So they have mm-hmm. a guest minister or somebody else that comes in, you know, and does a service once a month. And we were fortunate in that we have movable chairs. So we just put all the chairs in a circle, and we did a couple readings. But, you know, mostly we danced for the whole service. And we did one just a couple months ago, and the response was great. I mean, I would say probably 70% of the people got up and joined
wow.
the dances. So it was very positive. You know, a few people got up and left.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, okay. And several people came up afterward and, you know, said they really loved it and they would, you know, like to see more of that kind of thing happening. So I think many, many UU churches would be open, you know, to that type of thing.
this is Donna. I know we don't have a lot of time left for this, but at our church, we have a sacred dance program, and so that helped it to be easier to suggest the idea of the Dances of Universal Peace in some way woven into what's going on with our church community. And so we were able to have a dance circle a couple, maybe like three times a year in between the church services in our fellowship hall. We just get permission when the sacred dance group is going to be part of the service. It seems like a natural time to have dances in the fellowship hall. And so we just get permission, and it really gets people excited about it. And then we have our regular circle meeting at our church in the smaller chapel in the lower level of the church. So that kind of gets some interest going and coming to the circle.
So the sacred dance program is sort of like the a regular choir or something?
Yeah,
you know, like
kind
of
like that.
Program, so.
Except they just are part of the service several times a year. So not unlike, you know, most choirs are part of the service, maybe it could be every week or every other week or something like that, but the sacred dance group is there maybe once a month or something like that, every six
okay.
weeks.
Thank you, Donna.
Sure.
So, Tajali, do you have anything you'd like to add just to end the topic?
Not at this point.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
So our second topic tonight is advertising and publicity. And actually, before I go on, I did hear some coughing and some breathing. So for those folks who haven't already muted, if you could mute by using star 6. And then when you're ready to speak, please also hit star 6, and then that should help us stay a little bit clearer and be able to listen to the person speaking.
Hello. Can I make a comment about dancing in church?
And who is this?
I'm Sister Marie from Michigan.
Hi, Sister Marie.
Hi.
I have a few minutes for you if you'd like to
okay.
do that.
Okay. My mother passed away in January. And I wanted the funeral to be a real celebration of her life because she was 97 and a half.
Mm.
And so I got a call from a friend who is from South Africa. And so we ended up, before the service, she did a Zulu song, which is in a Gregorian hymnal, which is a publication in the Catholic Church. And it's called We Are Walking in the Light of God. Only you change the words. We are... standing in the light of God. We are dancing in the light of God. And she sang it in Zulu, and we did the thing where you sing and the group repeats. I think she had words passed out. And then we did it in English, and it's available in Spanish also. But people stood in their places. She had everybody stand up. You know, it's what you call the chair thing. And I had permission. Because you know how strict the Catholic Church is getting right now. But it really set a wonderful mood. And she had people dancing in their pews, you know, when we did the verse about dancing in the light of God. So, and then I closed with the hymn, Lord of the Dance, also. But we didn't do any movement to that because that was a recessional out of church. But I tell you, it really worked to loosen everybody up and make the atmosphere of celebration. So that's my contribution.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Marie. Okay, so next we have Veronica Lila Rosa. She is a certified dance teacher, a senior dance mentor, dance musician, and member of the Mentor Teachers Guild for the Dances of Universal Peace. She founded the dance community in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. She leads the Aramaic Prayer of Jesus dance cycle and the Native Middle Eastern dance cycle, and is also a longtime student of the master frame drummer Lane Redmond.
and is the first of Lane students to teach his groundbreaking 6-month frame drum intensive, Giving Birth to Ourselves. So let's welcome with our silent hand clap, Berenice.
Thanks, Jan. And thanks to Tajali, too. It's so good to hear your voice, sweetie. I look forward to catching up all in good time. So I'm going to quickly go through the list that I have of suggestions and things we've done here in the Triangle of North Carolina for advertising and publicity, and turn the call over for other suggestions and success stories as well and questions. This is not a lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about. It is very intuitive and mostly just as a reminder of all the different venues that are available for getting the word out. So I'll start with sort of the lowest tech, the lowest effort to the highest tech, highest effort. And the very first and actually the best way to advertise and publicize the dances is word of mouth. So a very powerful thing you can do is at any event have a flyer that people can take with them that has the information about upcoming dances, a regular dance schedule, contact information. So this can be like a whole page that you just take to Kinko's and Xerox, or you can even make it into a one page that is split into four, so you're not carrying big sheets of paper, sheaves of paper around, and it's also something that could fit very easily in someone's pocket or purse. So those same flyers, the whole page flyer, can go with members of your circle and yourself to other events. So seasonal celebrations in the alternative communities. As we've heard, the Unitarian Universalists are very open and welcoming to dances of universal peace, as are the Unity churches. And in our area, we've also had a good response from the Friends community. So any church or spiritual organization that's a bit out of the mainstream tends to be a little more open to different forms of spiritual expression. So anytime you're going to be at one of those places or events, to just have a few flyers that you can ask the organizer or the person in charge if you could set them out. It's a good way to just create awareness. In addition to taking those flyers to events, they can be turned into posters at different places of business. You know, not only churches have bulletin boards. And I forgot one other spiritual organization that's very open is Religious Science. So along with posting at like a church bulletin board, there's alternate bookstores, food co-ops, the Whole Foods stores where we live have a public bulletin board where you can post flyers. So then proceeding to the next sort of level of effort and technology is actually submitting events to be printed in periodicals. For a while, Lucy Zarifa Oliver, who has now moved to Asheville, was very vigilant about every week contacting all of our local newspapers who often have, who weekly have a community bulletin board of events and giving the information about our monthly dances. So it would depend on how many events they had that week as to whether we would get published or not. But it's a bit labor intensive. You have to really know who to send it to, send it in the right format, that kind of thing. We also have a weekend highlights publication that has all the sort of different concerts and art gallery opening and different things that are happening in our area. And so there is a section for participatory dance. And we've listed in there regularly for many years. So the next level of advertising and publicity is staying in touch by email. And you basically just put a sign-up sheet or a form that people can fill out at dance meetings or at different dance gatherings. And you collect emails in some form or fashion and send a reminder. We have a monthly calendar that goes out, and if we have special events coming up, we may do a special email. And the key there is just to really keep it simple and easy to understand, include all the information that's pertinent, time, location, things like that, and a contact name if people have questions. And then the next step up from that is the social media that's happening now. And I hope Vakil will take a moment and share with us about what he's learned about Facebook and creating, not exactly sure what you call them, about circles or groups or something on Facebook. So it's a way to have people sort of subscribe to what you do rather than you collecting their information and sending it out. And then, of course, the next thing is to have a website. And for many years we didn't, but we, you know, spent the money and got a nice design and had a member of our community who did a lot of work for free at a reduced cost. And we've gotten a lot of new people who are doing a search on Dances of Universal Peace or Sacred Dancing, Sacred Movement, and they find us because of our website. And as Tajali was mentioning about the different outreach events, this is also a good way to do publicity, because as you dance or have events in places outside of the monthly meeting, it creates awareness. If you have information there that people can take with them about the monthly events that are going on, then the word gets out through those outreach events as well. And it brings us full circle to back around to the best way is word of mouth. People get excited. They find the dances and feel something touch their hearts that maybe they've never felt before. And they share that with friends and family, and it's amazing. So I will open it up for any questions, or just really to sort of combine, or anyone who wants to share suggestions about things that have worked.
This is Elizabeth again. I have a question about email lists. We have several little dance circles in our area, and we're trying to, everybody kind of sends out their own email, and people tend to get inundated with repeat notices, and we're trying to consolidate into one list. Does anybody have a program that they use that different people can share with each other and you know, work on it and send it to somebody else? And
you know, this is Shivadam from Phoenix, and I was going to chime in and mention that we use various groups here in Arizona, like our some of our outlying groups as well as our Phoenix area group, use yahoo.com, and they have a very user-friendly system called Yahoo Groups, and so we use Yahoo Groups, and even though we have various groups, there tends not to be a lot of overlap in our messages, and sometimes when one group sends out a message, the other group will pick it up and send it out over their Yahoo group.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Shivadam, because we make extensive use of Yahoo Groups here more for discussion groups so that people who are in the community can have announcements about things that are happening in their life, or they need help moving, or, you know, about questions about this dance meeting or event. But Yahoo Groups has a facility that you can set up a group that is announcement only. So there's no conversation. It's just the moderator who sends out periodic announcements. And so that makes it so people know when they sign up for it, they're not going to get tons of sort of chatter of different members who may not be very conscious of reducing the amount of emails.
Right, and there are different ways that it can be configured when you go in and use Yahoo Groups. You can look at the different settings, and even the users who sign up to use it can adjust their own preferences. So say they can decide to get only priority messages, or they can get all messages, and they can set those preferences themselves. And another thing that I recently discovered as the host of our phoenixdances.org website is that under the promotion section in Yahoo Groups, they give you HTML code for any of you who may do any web designing. And you can simply place the Yahoo icon and a little empty dialog box on your web page so that people can go to your web page and sign up for that to be on that email group automatically. What we used to do is, you know, somebody would say, hey, I want to be on the group, and somebody would have to go home and sign up and put them in there. But now people can just go directly to our website and sign up.
Yeah. And I would like to, before we run out of time, call on Vakil. Vakil, if you wouldn't mind unmuting and talking to us about what you've learned about Facebook, which I think is pretty exciting.
Hi, Farinisa. Thanks for the invitation.
Sure thing.
After the last phone call, I went right out to Facebook and created a page for our local dance meeting. It's called Friends of the Dances of Universal Peace, Port Townsend. And if somebody is searching the words Dances of Universal Peace, they will find that. And then that became kind of a template. And then the Seattle group made a page that's very similar. It's called Dances of Universal Peace Seattle. And I'm looking at that page right now, and there's 139 people who have signed on as a group member. Now, that doesn't mean they're even all in Seattle or that area. Like the short list I'm looking at right now, there's somebody from Ottawa, somebody from Chicago, somebody from Turkey. So what it really does is it kind of supports all of us in a vague way, and some of us in a more specific way. But the best thing about it, I guess, is that it allows us to network both locally and internationally through these pages, and each one is potentially a very unique page. For example, on my local page, I basically have the pictures of the 29 people who signed onto that page, plus some links to different dance pages and maybe a couple of photos. On this Seattle page, there are links, discussions, one photo, a lot of events, and the events stay on after so that somebody coming to this later on can look back and see what the group has been doing. I would encourage groups everywhere, if you have one person, one responsible person in the community, to act as the Facebook administrator. It takes all of 10 minutes to create a page. It's kind of a fun process. You become sort of like a webmaster at a very junior level. And,
this is Hira from Seattle.
Hi, Hira.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Hira from Seattle. And I do want to say I'm not a person who's going to Facebook at all, but I'm part of the planning group here, and we've supported the idea. And as a dance leader, I am seeing new people show up a lot more since this has happened. So it really works, I can say that.
Wonderful. Thank you for that feedback.
And I would add that I think Facebook is really one of the places where the action is right now. There's over 200 million people on the planet who are using Facebook to some degree, and that's potentially a lot of outreach. I don't really know any other way to reach 200 million people except to create an international incident. So maybe this is a different kind of international incident. It's below the radar.
Exactly.
But if anybody needs any tech support for that, I've created about 6 of these pages now for various activities, and they're all signing people up. It's just really fun to see new people come into my world because I thought something was important enough to create a page for it, and then find that other people thought it was important too. And the other way you could imagine your own page is just go to, on Facebook, Dances of Universal Peace Seattle, and you'll see all the potentials. And I'll just close by saying that any of you who are planning to come to the Jamiat Kass at the end of October, On the weekend before that, we're about here in Fort Townsend, we're about 2.5 hours from the Jamiat site, and we're going to be hosting Layla for 2 days of workshop and zikr, followed by a 2-day Zerat retreat, and then we're all going to migrate down to Vashon. You don't have to be part of the Jamiat cast to participate in any of that, and we'd love to see you.
Thanks.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. This is Jen, and so this just about wraps up our time for this topic.
And Jen, just in closing, I will say if anyone has any specific questions or wants details of anything I've mentioned, please feel free to contact me.
Okay. Thank you, Farinisa. So our next topic this evening is skillful communication among DUP leaders. And we welcome Anjali Patty Stratton from Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii. And she went to her first DUP gathering in 1999 with Leela Flood in Volcano. She started leading dances in 2000 and went on to certify in 2007. She is one of several dance leaders who co-create the Kona Circle, and she's attended several DUP trainings, as well as Zikr intensives with Leila B. Anjali lives in Kona on a small coffee farm and is also a writer, body worker, and traveler. We welcome Anjali.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I believe that the skillful communication is very important. I find we agree that the dances of a universal peace leading is kind of a tricky thing. Can be tricky. We have a circle. We have 6 to 7 leaders, and I think that's becoming more common around the country. That you know, more people are coming into the circle to lead, and some people are starting new circles. And we've had friction in our circle. It's never been very big, but you know, people have feelings, and people are sensitive, and people have egos. So feathers get ruffled, and we all have this underlying, you know, spiritual connection. So it can be very tricky. And I found that, you know, for the good of the circle, it's definitely appropriate sometimes to reach out to somebody who's had feelings, you know, and people have to reach out to each other. And there's new leaders and there's old leaders and there's people with strong personalities, and sometimes you get somebody who's just caught up in their own world and they don't really see the, you know, what's going on in the group. And so that's one thing that happens. Sometimes people really want to bring a dance forward and they feel sometimes that their creativity is thwarted or the creative process, they can't go through their creative process to get to the point where they can either participate or create a new dance, or you can just tell they're feeling frustrated, or you know, sometimes people go through a rough patch where they're really ungrounded, or I'm feeling a little ungrounded right now, a little unbalanced in their life, and you know, they really shouldn't be leading, and we have to gently guide these people back onto the path, or let them, you know, participate for a while. Sometimes there's inappropriate behavior. Somebody, we have all the podners here, the dolphin swimming people that get so high spirited, they, you know, they break out of the unity of the circle sometimes, and you kind of have to reel people in. So there's that aspect of inappropriate behavior, and we've had this other issue where we've agreed on something in the group, like we end the circle with a particular toning, and then somebody doesn't end the group that way, and the rest of the group kind of feels, oh, our circle's not complete, and so we have to share with somebody outside the circle, go and sort of speak and say, you know, this is the way we kind of would prefer to end our circle, and that really feels complete for us. And it's always good to go back to Sam. You know, the Sam's intention for this whole practice was to raise the vibration on the planet. And just to take a moment to remember that idea. and listen. Good listening skills. And NVC, I haven't had NVC training myself, but I know you refer to yourself. You don't use comments like, you know, when you did XYZ, you know, it's more like, you know, I would prefer when you do this, that blah, blah, blah. So these kind of skills are just really important. And then another idea that I just wanted to bring forward was bringing new people into the circle, which is, you know, we're out here. I've been to other circles where one person leads, and it's always beautiful. We have a circle where we have several people leading, and sometimes you're lucky if you can do, you know, if you can lead one dance. Then other times there's nobody on the island, and you're leading several dances. So it's really good to have that rehearsal where you get together and you go through all the dances and the musicians can come and practice. And I'm sure everybody's heard this before, but it's just a reminder to have that rehearsal space and to hold the, have the container be very clear as to, you know, the intentions of what we're bringing forward, this prayerful practice. And it's really a fine line we dance, but, you know, some people are not ready to lead. They're really keen to lead, and they're just, and you have to sort of stand firm within your truth and speak to the person and gently say, you know, I think that you know, bring it again next month, and we'll rehearse it some more, and just keep being very, you know, genuine and encouraging, and really be clear about who's ready to lead and who's not ready to lead, maybe. And sometimes people want to present a dance that's not really cooked, it's not really ready to be released. And again, it's the same philosophy. And let's see, I had a couple more thoughts about communication with the musicians, because that can be tricky as well. It's just to really encourage the musicians, because we never had musicians for a long time, and, you know, we're so excited we've had people now who've been with us for a couple years, and to really tune in to the leader, and that they're there to support the leader, and not, because we've had people who it almost looks like they're doing a solo number, or they go so far inside they forget that they're really there to support the people who are leading the dances, and just be clear about that. And just my final thought was, you know, the more harmony we can create and the better that we can communicate, it's the better attendance that happens and the better sort of long-term leadership skills can be developed. So that's the few words that I had to say about skillful communication. I'd love to hear what other people have to say.
This is Hira from Seattle. I wanted to chime in there also for nonviolent communication. It's one of those skills that we've been introducing into our community. We have often a dozen leaders in our circle. We have weekly meetings, but and other things that happen, but it's still a lot to share. And I have seen some remarkable differences with people who are really struggling in being able to be a part of a team and developing compassion for the people around them that have different perspectives. But I also want to say, with it being a team, it's just bound to be the case that you put a dozen people together who are passionate about something. We all care so much, and we have different opinions about the best way to present. So sometimes I just go, you know, it's a sign that we care, and that's why it's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is Farinisa. I appreciate everything you've said, Anjali, and would just also offer the suggestion that was given to me many years ago when there started being multiple dance leaders in our area, and that was to get together on a regular basis, just almost just like a social event. So, you know, no agenda, no expectation, no task to accomplish, but just getting together to be with each other and catch up. And so we would have a potluck you know, like once a quarter outside of our other events, schedule it when we knew everyone could come, and have it just be a time that we could just be with each other as friends and people.
It's a good
idea. This is Shivadam from Phoenix, and I would also like to describe a little bit about what we do here. We, a number of years ago, formed what we call the Phoenix Dance Council, I guess is what we call it. And so it's comprised of not just dance leaders, but also members of the dance community who have been involved in the dances for, you know, in some cases, decades. We're fortunate to have one member who's been dancing since the 1970s here. And so she's never led dance, but she's an invaluable member of our community and of our dance council because she not only can provide a kind of an unbiased opinion when necessary in conflicts that may arise between leaders, but she just has a great insight into the purpose of the dances and its history. So our dance council serves us in that we can get together and we plan, you know, events that we're going to do, but we also discuss difficulties that may arise. So that's another option.
I like that. Yeah, it's definitely a part of the inherent part of this process to figure out how to get along with each other. We all intentionally sometimes just say something, you have no idea that it hurts somebody's feelings, and then you have to, you know, speak through. And it's an amazing way that we can all grow in the process.
Anjali, this is Jen. And I thought I heard you mention something about VC training.
Oh, in nonviolent communication.
Oh, nonviolent communication training.
So that's what Ira Fatah brought up and a few other people. That I think that's well, I don't know a lot about it, but it's more referring to yourself instead of you statements. You always take it from the I, from your perspective, which is really the only thing we can control. And so we're not accusing other people and I think NVC training is important for any community or any group or any body at this point. You know, non-threatening communication so we all feel safe.
Do you recommend this for the whole community or do you, I mean, do you, you know, try to organize?
I do. Yes. I think it's been at one of our big regional dance camps that we have nonviolent communication.
That's a great idea.
Hi, Charleston. And I wanted to speak to nonviolent communication for just a moment. When I was living in Honolulu, the whole Sufi community, not the dance community, but the Sufi community at large, did an NVC training. And it is, in addition to what you said about it, quite a different language from any other kind of effective listening communication course we might have taken. And the goal of it is, rather than being heard or listening well, the goal, if there is one, you could put it in those words, is to connect. To connect with the person with whom you're speaking. So what falls away then is my need to be heard, my need to have you repeat what you thought I said, all of those things. And it's a very, very potent spiritual practice. So I would say definitely if your community is open to it, to do a training together and then practice the workbook with which to practice. And it's very transformational.
Wonderful, thank you. Are there any other questions for Anjali or anyone like to share? Or is there something in closing, Anjali, that you'd like to say?
I think we've covered it. I think we've covered it. You know, it might be an idea of something to include in the toolkit, maybe a you know, something inclusive of nonviolent communication, how to get to that connection point quicker.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so thank you so much, everyone, for sharing your perspectives on that. That was very helpful to me personally. Our fourth topic tonight is long-term sustainability, and we have Hira Fatah coming to us from Seattle, Washington. She is a certified dance leader of 18 years and a mentor. Hira was the founder of Village Potluck, a community gathering that empowered children to take the lead in the dance program. She is an advocate of harvesting the circle's innate wisdom through inclusion of seasoned dancers in team building and vision setting activities. She's also the North Pacific Cluster Coordinator for the DUP organization, helping to connect and communicate the flow of information among volunteers, leaders, organizers, musicians, and dancers throughout the Northwest. So thank you, Hira Fatah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is a dear topic to me, and I want to define it a little bit more than it is with those words. Partly I saw that we're going to have Jalila and Munira coming on next with information about working in a rural area, and I'm grateful for that because I don't have that experience. So I'm going to be specifically talking from the place of community established in an urban area. And I want to define it, this long-term sustainability and building community connection, the word community. So what I'm talking about here is those who show up for dance, and that includes leaders, musicians, and dancers. I'm not talking about the community in which the circle physically abides, which I think also would be a really good topic, but it would be more than would fit in here. So the community is those people who have stepped in the room at some point. And the things I see about sustainability are a desire to create more magnetism. So people are drawn there and people come back. And also to avoid burnout of the leaders or whoever's doing the work. There's a number of factors. One, in the early stage of setting up a meeting is when and where, and those things will influence the magnetism and the sustainability burnout of the meeting. So just briefly to speak of them, your environment sometimes can be magnetic itself, and then, of course, beautifying it sometimes is part of the weekly setup, but to make it a beautiful place, or if it's a beautiful place, that's a benefit. But then there's the other side of that, depending upon the cost you're paying, whether it's a burnout because you have you're paying for a beautiful space, but that means you really need those numbers to come in to pay at the door, and the stress a leader can feel. So those things, you know, kind of get in place early on. I didn't have much to do with that, though I've had in some outreach some experience with that. So the main thing I suspect that we're wanting to talk about is who's coming, who we're sustaining in the circle. And so you have your dance leaders and, if you're lucky, the way I look at it, musicians, and you have your dancers. I really want to talk mostly about dancers, getting those people to come and come back. There's what I call, and it was mentioned, I think, by Shivadam and his council, what I call dedicated dancers. These are people I identify after a period of them just repeat coming back, and it's not only their presence regular as a moving body in the circle that's attentive and gives their heart, but there's a sense that they hold the circle, you know, just ongoing, you know, day to day when we're not together, that they are holding the circle. Identifying those people and enhancing the chance that people will develop into that is what I want to be doing, because it's not just the magnetism of the leaders. it's those dancers that greet the new people on the side when you're busy tuning an instrument. We need those people present as much as possible. And, you know, the whole social activities too, which does a lot of community building. They'll do our, the people that we can turn to and say, can you set up the centerpiece? I'm late, you know. Or if we're doing the Aramaic prayer, they'll bring along the all the extra things for the wine and the bread, people that we can turn to regularly. But part of what happens is, I find, is that we ask people right away if they want to do something. Like, we very often have dancers that show up for their first time a half hour early while we're going through our rehearsal and stuff. And if there's 3 minutes then to greet them and invite them to take things out of the suitcase and set up, they feel useful. So looking around at the people that probably most of us like to be useful someplace where we are, and gleaning what's there, that actually can be the starting point for a dedicated dancer, that here they have a place where they are, there's a fit, they have a purpose. And I've seen people move right into a position of coming regularly because they have that kind of opportunity to serve. And these might be people who don't have musical skills, would never want to get up in front and lead a dance, but they're invaluable in that they take some of the load off the leader to do the setup and all these other things. But also because their presence is there, and they also serve as a conduit for feedback to the leader. I suspect that most dancers don't come up to someone unless they have a compliment about the meeting. And sometimes there's other things that need to be said. And if they can say them anonymously to somebody who they know can talk to the leaders, that's really helpful. So I look at that being a major part of setting up the magnetism of your group, is to have those dedicated dancers. And very often they'll go with me on outreach events, just a really essential part of what we do. Also, communication tools like you're talking Facebook. That's a new one for us, but we have a listserv that is with Yahoo, and it's what we call a social network. And like I heard earlier, people put out when they're moving and they need help moving. People connecting outside of dance is really useful. It builds the community and makes it more real, that this heart space that we share in the gaze in the moment while we're singing sacred phrases is something we turn into form. I don't know if I've covered everything I had in mind. I'm kind of gone off on a tangent here. But I just would encourage, oh, I know, another thing I wanted to say. There's this building, this body of dedicated dancers, but there's also, I'd like to encourage people to build the body of leadership. We haven't had that problem here, but every once in a while we'll see people moving out of the area, and I'm so glad every time that we've got new leaders coming up, because they can take up that space. They can fill when there's an outreach event that you can't make it to, you can turn it over to somebody else. It's very important that nobody is indispensable, so that, for instance, if I go away, the circle will keep going. I know that. There's a real confidence that it's got roots, because several of us could leave and there would still be a dance circle here in Seattle. So look at where you're indispensable and make sure that you do something to change that. I think that's probably summarizes it. So are there any...
I have a comment. I have a comment. This is Munira in Quebec.
Yes, hi, Munira.
And I spend, I live in Quebec, but I spend a couple of months every year in Seattle because that's where my family lives. So I become part of the Seattle dance circle when I'm there, and I usually lead
at least one time and go as often as I can. And I have to say that every time I go there, I'm amazed that I see the same people. I mean, there are new people, but there is this group of dancers, and I'm not just talking about the leaders, but dancers who are just always there, year after year after year. And it really is a sustained community, and it's just such a treat for me to move into it every winter.
And we enjoy you moving into it.
I know. So whatever you're doing, it's working.
I think probably the things about publicity and, you know, getting it a little higher tech, like with Facebook and stuff, is really important, because we do want people to continue moving through and seeing if it's a fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
What I call dabbling dancers, people will come, maybe they'll come in 3 months again, but there may be a time in their life when it's just the right thing, and then they'll settle in.
Right.
But if we don't have that flow of people who are exposed to it enough to consider it, then the circle will die in time. So I'm really excited about Facebook, and, you know, if you've got, this is another area, if you've got a dancer who's willing to take up flyers and put them out, and another thing I was going to say with the publicity is business cards. We have business cards. I always carry them, and I put my own information on the back side, so I give it out as a business card that's for me.
And thanks for saying that, because I had it on my list for people to just remind people about Vista Print, where you can get cards.
Excuse me, it sounds like somebody's moving. If we could remember to star six ourselves so that we're giving space and attention to the speakers.
Yeah, so you can get like 250 free business cards at VistaPrint.com. And it's like $5 for shipping and handling, and you can put on it anything you want. So it's a good deal and very handy to have with you all the time.
This is Shivadam from Phoenix. I was also going to mention VistaPrint. We have done that here, and the cards can be very beautiful, and they're also a really good size, and they can serve as a card that you can hand out. They can serve as kind of a flyer that you can leave on tables, and they also post well on bulletin boards. And I did want to mention a couple of other things as far as sustainability is concerned. Something that we are about to implement here in Phoenix, partly thanks to Yahoo Groups, is the idea of putting out a poll over our email group for our community, and also a physical suggestion box at our dance meetings. So that, you know, I guess we've gotten the sense that there may be aspects to our dances that we as leaders are not aware of in terms of how satisfied people are or are not with what we're doing. So we felt that by putting out a suggestion box and an online survey that we might get some feedback from our community. So we'll see how that goes. We're outlining right now some of the questions we might ask. But that is something we're looking to do. There's a fine line, of course, between, you know, we as leaders tend to know what the purpose and the form of the Dances of Universal Peace is about. And, you know, it's not about, providing a product that everybody necessarily wants, because we have to remain true to Sam's vision. But on the other hand, there may be just some environmental factor where we dance that may be off-putting to people that we are not aware of. And so we might learn about that through that kind of feedback. And one other piece that I wanted to mention, it kind of relates to the idea of communication among dance leaders. And this comes by way of Darvesha. I am a participant in her 3-year dance training that happens in New Mexico. And something she said really struck me at one point, which is the dynamics among the leaders in your circle will be the primary magnetism for your circle. So if the dynamics are good, that will attract people. If the dynamics are not so good, that may repel people. So I just wanted to mention those things.
Yeah, this is Anjali. That actually was my final comment that, you know, the more harmony you have in the circle, the more people come. And I wanted to say, I'm sorry, were you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say something on our little circle here in Kona is that at the end of, because we pay a huge rent, we pay for like a couple of hours, we pay over $100. So we've actually said clearly that, you know, we ask for $10 each, which is we feel is too much, but this is what we have to do to survive. And we say it clearly that all the rent, that all the money that we take in goes towards the rent. And that's really helped our circle as far as getting enough money to keep it going.
We were having a slump too, and we actually have a dancer who cannot afford to pay, who is a dedicated dancer, and she has taken it upon herself to, at announcement time, to go count what's in the basket and say how much we're short, and people come divvy up then.
Perfect.
Been a great contribution she's made that way.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I guess I have one other comment along those lines, and that is that we've talked quite a bit in our Phoenix Council and generally settled on the idea that advertising our events and posting, you know, the basket outside of the door at each of our meetings so that it says suggested offering rather than setting a fee. And I know that every community is unique and everyone has maybe a different and ideal approach to that, but we find that setting a rather low suggested offering amount is working pretty well for us because some people give a lot more than that and some people who can't afford it will nonetheless come and dance, which we like to have happen.
Agreed.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Hira. So our last topic for the evening is sustaining circles in rural areas. And we have Munira Judith Evinger and Jalila Joanne Murray joining us. Originally from the U.S., Munira Judith Evinger moved to the eastern townships of Quebec in 1992, where she worked at home for a software company in Montreal. She has made an in-depth study of yoga, the Course in Miracles, and Sufism. Shortly after moving to the Eastern Township, she built a little cabin in the forest where she spends her time writing, meditating, and playing music. She is the author of 3 bilingual poetry books and a novel, all published by Borealis Press of Ottawa. And I'm going to go ahead and read Jalila's bio as well, so you can flow between yourselves for this time. Jalila Joanne Murray is a dance leader of 12 years and currently leads a circle of 10 years in the Ottawa Valley, which is a province of Ontario, Canada. She is currently mentoring a dance leader who is now into her second year, and she provides outreach and support to this mentee circle, also located in a rural part of Ontario. So thank you, ladies.
Okay, well, this is Munira, and I'm going to start. Jalila and I have obviously encountered some of the same challenges of leading in rural areas, but our responses have been a little bit different, so that's why I wanted her to share this with me. But to begin with, when you're leading in a rural area, obviously you have a much smaller pool of potential dancers. And not only that, but they are dispersed over a pretty wide geographical area into various small towns or farms or whatever. So I found it very difficult to get together a core group. And I was fairly new to the area when I started leading here. And it seemed like, you know, I would advertise, we have, and that's difficult too because there's a number of little newspapers for each little community, and not there isn't just one that covers the whole area. But, you know, I would put little announcements in these papers or I would put up flyers or whatever. And it seemed like I was getting new people each time but not really building up anything steady. And so it was really hard to pull together kind of a sense of community. And the other thing that I found out here in the Eastern Townships is that the population, I don't have any demographic statistics to prove this, but my sense is that the population here is somewhat older in age than, say, it would be in the city, because there aren't very many jobs, so young people tend to leave, and the people who tend to settle out here are retirees who, you know, buy property or people who have weekend homes or vacation homes. And I know that as I have finally developed a core group after a number of years, probably the majority of the people who come on a regular basis are in their 50s, 60s, or 70s. And I have several people who don't drive anymore or don't drive at night. And of course, you have to drive. I mean, there's no mass transportation, so they have to get rides. Several of them have various physical problems. I can pretty much count on the day of the dance, at least one or two people will call up and say, well, I just don't feel well, or I'm too tired, or my back hurts, or, you know, whatever. And I also found that, because when I was first leading, I would just go and I would lead maybe six dances and we'd have a break and everything. I found that that is too much for a lot of people in my circle. They have to sit down, they have to rest, they can't do, you know, as many dances as I thought they could. So I've had to adjust to all of that. And for the first several years that I was leading here, I was driving to a yoga center in a town that's fairly close, and I was trying to do it on a regular basis, except for the period of time when I was gone in Seattle. But I was fairly frustrated with just trying to get something steady together. And then about a few years ago, everything kind of gelled and came into focus. And what happened is that, first of all, I started doing other things in the community myself. I started going to a couple of different writers' groups. I made contact with the minister of the United Church here, and she comes to the dances, and she's had me come to the church and lead in various different ways. And it's like all of a sudden I had a core group, because my friends, the people in the writers group, started coming to the dances. And then they started telling people about it, and as Sarah Nisa was talking about, word of mouth, that's the way it really began to spread. So I can't say I have a huge core group, but I do have a fairly steady core group now. And the other thing that I did, or that my friends and I did, is that we built a room onto the house here where I live, it's big enough so that we can have the dances here. So I don't have to go anywhere. And so if there's a blizzard out, I don't have to drive. And then it's up to the people to decide whether they want to come here or not. So that's helped a lot. And then the other thing I did was, at one point I decided that it was difficult for me to do it on a regular basis because of the other demands in my life, and because, unlike a lot of the rest of you, I don't have other leaders. It's just me. Except for last year, I had one of my mentees was here for last year, so I did have somebody to lead with last year, but she's gone now to New York City. So basically, it's me. And I'm the only musician. I have my guitar, and I'm the only leader. So if I was trying to do it on a regular basis, I found it was just too much. So what I decided to do was I decided to schedule the dances one at a time, and it would be more like an event. And it would, I would have a theme and ask people, and in the flyers, because we would put up flyers, ask people to bring something to share that related to the theme. So that began to bring other people's energy in. So we would have a little sharing time. Maybe we would build an altar or whatever. And also, I cut down the number of dances that I was doing. I'll lead maybe 3 or 4 dances and have meditations or other practices, sit down meditations or practices that relate to the background of the dances and actually begin to go more deeply into the dances. And then at the end of the evening, we'll have a little social time with juice and cookies or whatever. And it really turned things around here because people liked that. They liked that format, and then they had the feeling that, oh, there's only one dance scheduled. Well, if I want to go, I better get there because I don't know when she'll get it together to do another one, you know. So anyway, yeah, that has really pulled it together for me. And anyway, I don't know. I think that's about what I have to say. So, Jalila, why don't you say what you have to say?
Okay. So one of the things that has been helpful in the blossoming of our group is that Munir and I have talked fairly regularly, and because we have similar circumstances in terms of distances, so we can share that way and talk about challenges and how we rise to those challenges. In my own unfolding with the circle in the two circles, started a cappella and really just with a very strong intention of creating a group and just showing up. The group blossomed and musicians came, and what I have found is that it's been very, really important. Someone else said this already, to take the time to really orient your musicians and I guess your dance, you know, your dance leaders that are coming on and your dancers to their role, and especially with musicians, to their role that is in service to the dance. So taking that time, not just, you know, taking it for granted that people are just going to get it. I think maybe I made a few shortcuts in the early days and realized that shortcuts don't get you anywhere or get you into trouble. I've also, through outreach, taking dances into other groups, into meditation groups and workshops, and much the same as what the rest of you have shared, conferences, churches, seniors groups, women's groups, and found that to be really rich territory that often brings people to the, you know, to the dances, and eventually some then become part of the core group. I've noticed, too, as the circle has unfolded and strengthened, that it's really important that I have, you know, pay attention to the rich gifts and the experience of those that are actually in my circle. And so, for example, I have 2 very gifted chant leaders who, at every circle, I ask that they lead a chant, a Hindu chant. And we have a theme so that they are aware in advance of you know, what to focus on. I also have 2 people who are very gifted in leading meditation, and an artist who has created some beautiful wall hangings. So, for example, if for example, through weather, I'm an hour and 20 minutes from where the circle is. If I can't make it or through sickness, then there's enough people in the circle who can rise to the occasion I feel very confident, and have done so, to lead dances or meditation or the chanting, and do it in a way that is very in line with what Sam's intention is for the dances. A big challenge for us has been transportation, and we've worked really hard at that in terms of forming carpooling, looking at our creating as small environmental footprint as possible. I'm just thinking, and cross-fertilization in terms of getting the word out. So I'm also a yoga teacher. Some of the dancers are,
our therapeutic touch leaders, or some come from leading other groups or meditation groups. And so the word gets out in a variety of ways then. So it really is a whole, I feel like it's a whole community within our own dance circle that has taken responsibility for the wholesomeness and the continuance of our circle. So I really am really excited about how this circle is unfolding, and also paying attention, because we've had our challenges around communication as well. So I really liked listening to that topic as well. And bravo for pulling this wonderful teleconference together. So that's me. And if there's any feedback or questions, I'm finished.
Now, one thing about being the only dance leader is that you don't have any problems with communicating with anybody else. So.
No, I have a co-leader as well.
I know you do, but
yeah.
I don't, you know, except for last year with Pavla. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Does anyone have any questions for Munira or Jalila?
So do any of the rest of you lead in rural areas?
Is someone speaking presently? This is Shivadam,
mm-hmm.
And I just had one comment that is just kind of funny, I guess, to me is, you know, there's a very vibrant rural community out in a town called Snowflake here, and I haven't had the pleasure to join in their dances yet, but they consistently have a much greater attendance than we do in Phoenix, which is now a metropolis of nearly 3 million people. And it's kind of, it's humbling in a way, but I think a lot of it has to do with, I think one of the advantages that rural communities have is that there isn't a lot of other stuff going on, say on the weekends, you know, so an opportunity to dance might be the only thing happening on a particular weekend, whereas in Phoenix, the problem I think we're encountering is that there is so much going on all the time in the valley here that, you know, regularly people tell us, well, I would have come, but there, you know, this other thing was happening that night. And so it's just kind of amusing. I think some rural communities have better attendance and more regular attendees than we have here in this enormous city.
Actually, in our community here, we do have a lot going on, which is because so many people have settled here and come here. There are a lot of creative people out here, a lot of small spiritual groups and things. So there are a lot of things going on for a very small pool of people. And so we have found, I mean, I have found that practically every time I schedule a dance, there's something else happening somewhere. So I don't know if this particular area is unusual in that way, because so many artistic people have settled here or not. But I have found that to be a problem here.
We found that in the triangle, what Shivadam was saying, so busy all the time, any given night, there are five wonderful things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And out in the country in Chatham County, a member of our dance community has decided to bring the dances to her rural community. And she found a senior center that would sponsor the event and started doing email lists of all the different groups. And the first meeting we had over 70 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is Sky Manjita, and I actually lead in the Snowflake Circle that she mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that circle works so well is because the dance there's a sort of an alternative community that exists out east of established Mormon towns.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mormons don't come, of course, but this alternative community has been there for over 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And this is just one activity. They've been doing weekly sweats for over 30 years.
Wow.
And so the dances are just one piece of what already exists within this community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't trying to build a dance circle in a rural area. It was simply adding another activity to a community that already existed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting because here, as, even though there are a lot of creative people, a lot of spiritually oriented people, it's little groups or individuals. There isn't like a coherent community. It's very dispersed into, as I said, a number of small towns and little areas. So it's been hard to pull things together. But it is happening.
Munira, this is Hira.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I think it's really wonderful how you've adapted what you're doing to suit the people that are there. And as we have aging populations, you know, we're making different movements or alternate
mm-hmm.
movements, and to just think about the factor of needing to sit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a real important one. It feels like you're accommodating just what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's and I've also leading at the United Church. Their community is pretty mostly elderly people,
yeah.
And I had a group of 60 of them, and they all danced. But you know, I had to make sure that we weren't doing anything too strenuous, and that again that they could sit down after every dance. But
you're making the most of it. But you know,
with
wonderful ways to sit down, chanting and meditation. I mean,
mm-hmm.
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a result, we do go more deeply into the dance, the background of the dance, and how it came.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
I think part of that, Munira, too, is our own unfolding as dance leaders, too, to not be afraid to venture into the deeper places. You know, I know in my earlier stages, I was more comfortable keeping it lighter, but now it's like even if there's, you know, there's usually some new dancers, that the core group can hold the energy of the circle.
Right.
They really take that. That is, they take ownership of that, and it's not just my, you know, it's not just the magnetism of the leader, but it's the magnetism of this core group.
Mm-hmm.
So not being afraid to enter into a dance that can go to a deep place, that's been really rich. And I think
yeah.
probably the rest of you would say that too in your unfolding as dance leaders over time.
Okay. Munira and Jalila, do you have anything that you'd like to just tie up in closing?
Well, just to say that, you know, there are, I think, unique challenges to leading in a rural area, but it's certainly doable. The people are there, and if you can just reach them. But sometimes you have to reach them through other avenues. And then a lot of people that have ended up coming to the dances have said, well, I've heard about these things, but I was afraid to come, or I didn't know what it was, or this or that, you know. And then maybe they would come at the church or hear from somebody or whatever, and then they'd finally venture and do it, and then find out that it wasn't really this scary thing at all. But it is interesting that some people are quite nervous about going to something like the Dances of Universal Peace.
Yeah, I find that all, you know, although challenging, it has been very, very rich and very much a gift. So it's I'm just happy to continue on letting it being part of its unfolding,
yeah,
along with the rest of the circle.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being here tonight. And I want to give a great big yafata to all of our speakers. So we're all motioning right now with our hands and hearts. And I want to thank everyone for being present and being here to share and connect. Because we don't have much time left, I'd like to just
briefly say a few words and ask you all to consider how we might build upon the ideas that were shared tonight and the connections that were made. Do you have ideas that you think would strengthen the connections and bring about more easeful organizing of dance circles in our network? And if so, I will be sending out an email after this call asking these same questions again and inviting you to participate in the conversation with us as we continue to find ways to be of use and of service to the dances in our region. Would anyone else from the board who's present tonight like to share anything before we go? Donna or Lucinda?
Yeah, just to mention that we will have another conference in September, and we've picked a topic, and we'll be sending out more information. And I'm so thrilled.
Lucinda, it's very hard to hear you.
I'm so thrilled with tonight's. This is better?
Yes.
That's better.
That we want to make these teleconferences ongoing now that we see how successful it is in bringing people together. And part of our idea in having voice conferences is that as technology has become more prevalent, we've been using email more, and we just felt really the lack of wanting to connect personally with everyone. I think we really have success with that tonight. I feel like everyone got to tell stories, and I think stories are so important in our lives, and it really conveys the stories really convey important messages for us and things that we can really find useful. So thanks for participating, and we'll have more of these conferences.
So I have in my calendar that the next conference call is Monday, August 31st. Is that right, Donna?
Is that what we decided? I didn't remember if we finished the conversation about the next date, but is that... Does that sound good to those that are on the call, the board members on the call?
That's what I have that we determined.
Okay.
But maybe what we should say is that the next conference call will be in the later part of August or early September, and it will be on the topic of musicianship. And so I anticipate that we'll have lots of wonderful discussion on that topic as well.
Yeah.
And so we hope that everyone present will be able to join us and contribute. And I just have a very short quote that I wanted to read to inspire us for our journey forward. And it's by Domine Ann Capodanno. The path awaits our steps. The work awaits our hands. The world awaits our loving compassion. May we move forward each day with tender purpose and loving kindness in our hearts. Thank you again, everyone, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.